Good morning and happy Monday. It's the 6th of July. The long holiday weekend is still settling, and you know how that goes. The labs go quiet for a few days over a holiday, and then everything they were sitting on lands more or less at once. That's the kind of morning this is. I've got four things to walk you through, so pour yourself a fresh cup, settle in, and let's get into them. First up, and it's the big one, Anthropic shipped Claude Sonnet 5. This came out on the 30th of June, and Anthropic is calling it the most agentic Sonnet model it has built. One that can make plans, drive a browser and a terminal, and run on its own at a level that, just a few months ago, took a much larger and more expensive model. The headline claim is that Sonnet 5 closes most of the distance to the bigger Opus 4.8. On agentic search and on computer use tasks, Anthropic's own curves show Sonnet 5 as a clean step up from Sonnet 4.6, and at higher effort settings it matches Opus 4.8. On some tasks, while giving you a much wider range of cost versus performance points to dial in. It ships with a 1 million token context window and a knowledge cutoff of January this year. Introductory pricing is $2 per million input tokens and $10 per million output tokens through the end of August, after which it goes to 3 and 15. And on the safety side, Anthropic reports a lower rate of undesirable behavior than the previous Sonnet, and deliberately weaker cybersecurity ability than its current Opus models, a conservative posture for something meant to act on its own. But here is where it got interesting, because the release did not land as a clean win. Within hours, people running benchmarks noticed that Sonnet 5's real-world efficiency is more complicated than that pricing suggests. It took 3 to 6 times more turns to finish agentic tasks, and there were tokenizer changes that compound the effect. So on the Artificial Analysis Intelligence Index, the model actually cost more to run end-to-end than Opus 4.8. Think about that for a second. The cheaper per token model came out more expensive per task. That inversion became the whole conversation on launch day, and it is a good reminder that agentic models are billed by the token, but judged by whether they finish the job. So turn count and tokenizer efficiency now matter as much as the number on the price sheet. There was more shipped alongside the model, a batch of platform updates for running managed agents, and Claude's desktop app arriving on Linux in beta. And quietly, Anthropic's Fable 5, which some people call Mythos 5, was cleared for release again after a stretch of work with the government. So it was a big day, but a complicated one. Moving on to our second story, which is a research thread rather than a single paper. If you are tracking how the big labs actually train models these days, on-policy distillation has become one of the most active corners of the field. And this past week, a whole cluster of papers on the archive converged on the same problem. Let me set it up. In on-policy self-distillation, you take a teacher model that has been given access to the reference answer, and you let it grade the student's own attempts, token by token. The appeal is that the student learns on its own trajectories. It closes its actual gaps instead of just imitating someone else's solutions. The trouble, these papers argue, is that this setup quietly mixes together two very different things. The first paper, called Dual On-Policy Distillation, gives the problem a nice name, the privilege illusion. The teacher's privileged view of the answer blends the capability gap the student is supposed to close with an information gap the student can never actually reproduce. So the student ends up mimicking answers it has no honest path to reach. A second paper frames the same failure as privileged information leakage, where the student quietly encodes answer-dependent shortcuts, and it fixes that by turning down the teacher's signal exactly where the teacher and student disagree most. A third looks specifically at long chain-of-thought reasoning models and finds that naive self-distillation actively destabilizes the reflective reasoning those models depend on. The teacher's supervision gets dominated by the reference answer and washes out the thinking. And then there is the contrarian one, with the blunt title, Denser is Not Better, which argues that piling on dense self-distillation helps you specialize on your own domain, but quietly hurts your ability to generalize to new ones. Put it all together and you can watch a subfield growing up in real time. 6 months ago, the story was simply that on-policy distillation works. Now the story is much more careful. It is about when it breaks, and why, and what you should let the teacher see in the first place. For anyone actually training models, the takeaway is that the design of the teacher's information and how you handle disagreement between teacher and student is now just as important as the decision to distill on policy at all. Third up, a hardware story that tells you where the whole industry's head is at. Anthropic has started early work on its own AI chip, and it has held talks with Samsung as a possible manufacturing partner. This is according to reporting from The Information, backed up by TechCrunch. If it goes ahead, it would make Anthropic the latest frontier lab to reach for custom silicon in order to get some control over the cost and the supply of the compute underneath its models. Ondas, and the timing is the tell. This comes only about a week after OpenAI announced its own custom chip with Broadcom, and it puts Anthropic on the same path that Google, Amazon, and Meta have already walked with their in-house accelerators. For Anthropic specifically, this makes a lot of sense. Its models run across several clouds, and it just reached general availability on NVIDIA's newest Blackwell Ultra hardware. A chip of its own would be a hedge against NVIDIA's pricing power on one side, and against the raw capacity crunch that has defined this entire build-out on the other. Now the reporting is careful, and so am I. Anthropic is a newcomer to chip design. It would be building this effort largely from scratch, and the Samsung talks are early. They are about manufacturing and possibly memory, not a finished design. Samsung's involvement is worth flagging on its own, because it touches both the foundry side and the memory that sits at the center of the current shortage, and memory makers and foundries have unusual leverage right now. The strategic logic here is the same one running through the rest of the industry. Labs increasingly want to own the accelerator, not just rent it, because that is how you control your margins as inference volume climbs. Whether Anthropic ever actually ships a chip is another matter. First-generation silicon slips all the time, and the distance between early talks and a working part is measured in years, not months. But the direction of travel is unmistakable. And for our fourth and final story today, we move to the Pentagon, which just reorganized the way it handles drones and autonomous systems in a pretty consequential way. The department pulled nearly all of its unmanned systems programs together under a single new office that reports directly to the Deputy Secretary of Defense. It is called the Direct Reporting Portfolio Manager for Unmanned Systems, and a Pentagon spokesman described the mission it is built around as the most consequential battlefield innovation of this generation. The key move is that this new office takes acquisition and requirements authority away from the individual military services, which have historically each run their own separate drone efforts in parallel. Reporting across the Defense Press, Defense Scoop, Defense One, and others describes the same goal: compress the timelines that have slowed how fast the United States fields autonomous systems, standardize how the department buys and integrates drones, and give one manager end-to-end responsibility for the whole portfolio. And this did not happen in isolation. In the same week, the department realigned its scattered autonomy work under new oversight, awarded a $500 million counter-drone contract to AeroVironment for commercial systems over 3 years, and stood up a tactical edge computing product with Amazon Web Services and Anduril. Taken together, it is an institutional bet that the binding constraint on autonomous warfare is not the technology. It is the speed of acquisition, and that centralizing authority is the way to change it. There's a real debate underneath this. People who are wary of stripping authority from the services warn that concentrating all that power in one place can sideline the operational knowledge each service has built and creates a single point of failure. The people in favor argue the opposite, that the fragmented, service-by-service approach is exactly why American drone fielding has lagged behind both adversaries and cheap commercial systems. Which way it actually breaks will come down to details we cannot see yet. Who controls the budget, how it is staffed, and how requirements flow from the operators in the field up to this new office. So what tied this morning together, every one of these four, was really about the same thing: the cost of building frontier AI and whose hands are on the controls. A model that got more capable but reopened the fight over what it actually costs to run. A wave of research trying to train strong models more cheaply and being honest about where the shortcuts break. A lab reaching down into silicon so it does not have to rent its own compute. And a government restructuring itself so it can field the technology faster. Models, training, chips, and the state. Ooh, four different arguments about the price of intelligence and who gets to steer it. The full digest has the rest of the day's reading if you want to go deeper on any of it. I will be back tomorrow morning. Until then, keep reading and take care of yourself.